Theocoptera Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Theocoptera AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. We are tackling a subject today that feels, well, more than almost any other, dominated by just visceral fear, right? Immediate headlines and really highly charged political talk.
Absolutely. We're talking about terrorism.
Yeah.
And because it's so emotionally loaded, the public conversation around it is usually fueled much more by panic than by, say, historical analysis.
Right. If you only get your info from cable news, you're just missing the bigger picture, the whole strategic landscape.
Totally.
So our mission today, and we're guided by the work of historian Charles Townsend, is to try and move beyond that sensationalism. Mm. We want to analyze terrorism not as this, you know, unique modern moral panic, but as a persistent and actually evolving tactic of political violence.
Exactly. Yeah. And the core challenge, the intellectual challenge that Townsend really addresses, is achieving clarity. How do we get a rational handle on something that's often deliberately clouded by fear and, frankly, political manipulation?
We need to understand its role, its purpose, its goal, both way back and right now.
Before we unpack the tactic itself, maybe we should talk a bit about the person guiding us.
Good idea. We're diving into the work of Charles Townsend. He's a really distinguished British historian, emeritus professor of international history at Keele University.
And his background is just crucial for understanding his perspective. Townsend isn't like a rapid response policy pundit.
No.
He's a deep dive historian. His specialty is political violence, counterinsurgency. He's written seminal stuff on conflicts like, you know, the IRA, various colonial struggles.
Which means he comes at terrorism not as some unique modern crisis needing an immediate, maybe emotional fix.
Right.
But as this recurring historical phenomenon. He spots these enduring patterns in the strategic choices groups make over time.
Yeah, he gives us that crucial, non-polemical, long-term view. He can connect dots between, say, Al-Qaeda today and like 19th century Russian anarchists, put them on the same strategic continuum.
And that historical depth, that's what lets him cut through a lot of the noise, right, of the often ahistorical, fear-driven modern debates.
Exactly. He wants to know why. Why is this particular tactic proven so well, so durable?
Okay, so let's get into his central argument. Townsend really pushes back against the common idea that terrorism is purely modern, you know, something that started with bombings or hijackings in the late 20th centuries.
He argues it's much older. It's an adaptable form of political violence that has basically evolved with human civilization. It's persistent. It's a method.
And his core insight is that terrorism functions primarily as violent theater.
Violent theater. That's such a powerful phrase.
It is, isn't it? Because it immediately shifts the focus. The goal isn't just physical destruction.
No. It's a calculated performance. It's designed specifically to generate fear, to grab attention, and to communicate political messages way beyond the immediate victims.
So the act itself becomes propaganda by the deed.
Precisely. I mean, think about it. If the goal was purely military, you'd attack a barracks, there's money.
Right.
But attacking civilians in a public square, that's because the goal is psychological. It's political communication. The fear, the psychological impact, that's the actual weapon.
And framing it like that forces us to confront this huge challenge the book tackles, the problem of definition.
Yeah.
How do we even define terrorism?
Yeah. Townsend argues the term is often, and I think this is his phrase, analytically bankrupt, meaning it's used more often as a political label, you know, to delegitimize your opponents, rather than as a neutral description of a specific kind of action.
So we have to shift our focus, move away from just the emotional reaction.
Exactly. To understand it, Townsend says, look at its strategic logic, look at its history, and be really critical consumers of the label itself.
Like, when a government calls a group terrorist, we should ask why. What's the political purpose of using that specific word?
Precisely. It's often an attempt to deny that opponent any political legitimacy whatsoever.
Okay, so if we're trying to get past the label and find a functional, working definition, what parts does Townsend say absolutely have to be there?
He boils it down to four key components that are pretty consistent.
Yeah.
First, obviously, the use of the threat of violence.
Okay.
Second, that violence has to have a clear political objective. It's not just random crime or, you know, personal grievance.
Got it. Violence, political goal. The next two seem crucial for distinguishing it.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Third is the deliberate targeting of civilians or non-combatants. That's key.
Uh-huh.
The immediate victim matters, but not in the way you might think.
And fourth.
Fourth, and this is critical, is the intention to generate fear in a wider audience than just the immediate victims.
Okay.
So the person killed or injured is instrumentalized, right? They become a vehicle, essentially, to deliver a terrifying message to the government or to society as a whole.
It's psychological warfare aimed at the public mind.
Exactly.
Now let's jump back to the origins, because this is fascinating. The historical irony here is just huge. The term terrorism, it originally meant violence used by the state.
Yeah, totally counterintuitive to how we use it now. We're talking about the French Revolution, the Reign of Terror, 1793, 1794.
The state using systematic brutal fear, the guillotine, to consolidate power, eliminate opposition.
That was the original meaning.
Yeah.
State terror, the shift to what we usually think of now non-state terrorism that happens quite a bit later. Late 19th century.
Right, and this is where groups like the Russian People's Will, the Narodnaya Volya come in.
They're the pioneers, really, of this non-state terror idea and that concept of propaganda by the deed.
They couldn't possibly win a straight fight against the Tsar's army.
No way. They were tiny, relatively weak, but they needed to prove that this huge, powerful state was actually vulnerable.
So the assassination of Tsar Alexander II in 1881.
That becomes the ultimate piece of violent communication. A spectacular act proving that just a handful of dedicated people could strike right at the heart of the empire. It sent shockwaves.
And that basic tactic, that method, just kept evolving through the 20th century. Townsend talks about distinct waves, right?
He does. First, there's the anti-colonial wave.
Okay, like who?
Think groups like the Ergun fighting the British in Palestine, or the FLN in Algeria fighting the French.
And they used terror pretty successfully, didn't they?
In many ways, yes. They used it to get international attention, to make the cost of occupation politically, financially, psychologically, just too high for the colonial powers. Eventually, it became unbearable for them to stay.
Okay, then after that?
Then you see the rise of nationalist separatist campaigns, often within democratic states. Think the Provisional IRA in Northern Ireland, or ETA in Spain's Basque Country.
And what characterized them?
Incredible resilience, for one. They sustained these campaigns for decades, and often they had very clear, tangible political goals, however brutal their methods usually, an independent state or reunification.
But then Townsend points to a really profound shift later in the 20th century. He calls it holy terror.
Yeah, primarily marked by groups like Al-Qaeda. And this was a major departure from those earlier, more localized nationalist struggles.
How so? What were the key differences?
Well, they were stark. Yeah. Where, say, the IRA had a specific finite political goal, a united Ireland, these newer groups often had global, almost civilizational aims.
Not just about territory or political structure.
No, they framed the conflict differently. Not as a political negotiation that might end in compromise, but as this vast, cosmic, potentially endless struggle, good versus evil.
And that framing that changes the rules of engagement, doesn't it?
Completely. It removes many of the traditional constraints on violence. Earlier nationalist groups, for example, often worried, at least somewhat, about alienating their potential political supporters if casualties got too high.
But in a cosmic civilizational war.
Mass casualty attacks like 9/11 become not just permissible, but potentially desirable. If you see yourself as killing infidels or enemies of God, the old limits disappear.
Which makes the violence exponentially more spectacular.
And therefore, better theater, in that grim sense Townsend describes.
Now, something Townsend insists on, which really challenges how many people think about this, is including state terrorism in the discussion.
Yes. This pushes back hard against the idea that terrorism is only something rebels or insurgents do against the state. The powerful can use this tactic, too.
How does he break that down?
He distinguishes between internal or regime terror. Think totalitarian states using secret police, surveillance, torture against their own citizens to enforce obedience.
Like Stalin's purges or the Gestapo?
Exactly. And then there's external or state-sponsored terror. That's where governments use proxy groups, basically, to wage war or destabilize rivals without having to officially declare war or get their own hands dirty directly.
So his point is, if a state uses systematic violence, targets non-combatants, aims to generate feel in a wider audience, all for a political goal.
Then there, as the tactic of terrorism, regardless of whether the actor is a small group or powerful government.
We have to be consistent with the definition.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He argues that the moment we say, oh, but it's different when a state does it,
yeah,
the definition stops being analytical and becomes purely political. Yeah. It loses its explanatory power.
And central to all of this, woven through the history, is the relationship between terrorism and the media.
Oh, it's completely symbiotic. Townsend puts it bluntly, Modern terrorism is inconceivable without modern mass media.
The media provides the oxygen.
It's the amplifier. It's the stage for the violent theater. Terrorists, he notes, have often been really quick early adopters of new communication technologies.
Yeah.
Well, dynamite and the printing press back in the 19th century. Fast forward to today, it's the internet, social media, encrypted apps. They need the media to spread their message, to amplify the fear far beyond the immediate blast zone. It's essential to their strategy.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. What are the absolute key themes we should take away from Townsend's analysis? The first big one seems to be terrorism is political communication, first and foremost.
Right. And the implication of that is huge. If success is primarily psychological and political, not military,
then counterterrorism can't just be about physical security, like stopping the bomb.
Exactly. It has to prioritize disrupting the message. Denying the terrorists the attention, the fear, the psychological victory they crave, that's arguably more important than just hardening targets.
Okay, second key theme, that definitional problem we talked about, it's always political.
Always. The label terrorist is rarely neutral. It's a strategic political tool. Governments use it to deny legitimacy, to rally support, and often to justify extraordinary responses, things that might not be acceptable otherwise.
So as listeners, as citizens, we need to be critical consumers of that label.
Absolutely. Always ask, who's using the label, why now, and what political outcome are they hoping to achieve by deploying it?
And the third theme, which feels like the ultimate strategic trap, is the danger of overreaction, the democratic dilemma.
Yeah, this is crucial. Townsend points out that terrorists often strategically seek to provoke an authoritarian response from the state they're attacking.
They want the state to crack down.
They're baiting it. They want the government to restrict civil liberties, use excessive force, maybe bypass the rule of law.
Why would they want that?
Because it serves their purpose beautifully. It can expose perceived hypocrisy in the state, it creates new grievances, it angers people, and it basically acts as a powerful recruiting sergeant for their cause.
Wow. So the state's response can end up being more damaging, more counterproductive than the initial terrorist act itself.
Often, yes. The terrorists can win, in a strategic sense, if the democracy starts undermining its own values in the name of security.
That is a sobering thought.
It is. And the book is full of these really sharp analytical lines that stick with you.
Yeah, let's highlight a few. I think my favorite really clarifies the means versus ends thing. He says, terrorism is a method, not a philosophy or a movement.
Mm. That's so important. It forces you to separate the tactic from the political goal.
Right.
It lets you analyze why different groups with maybe totally different ideologies, nationalist, religious, anarchist, might choose to use the same brutal method.
Mm.
Don't just conflate the violence with the belief system.
Okay, another one, getting back to that violent theater idea. The terrorist act is conceived and executed for its impact on an audience rather than its immediate object.
Yeah, that just hammers on the point. Success isn't measured in body count or property damage primarily. It's measured in fear generated, headlines grabbed, political pressure created.
If the audience isn't shocked or scared or paying attention,
then the act, as propaganda, has basically failed.
And one more, terrorism is the weapon of the weak, but it is not necessarily ineffective.
Which acknowledges the core logic of asymmetric warfare, right? It explains why a small group with very limited actual military power can still achieve an impact way out of proportion to its size.
By cleverly leveraging fear and media amplification.
Exactly.
So practically speaking, how can we apply this kind of deep historical understanding in our own lives or when thinking about policy?
Well, for everyday understanding, Townsend's work is incredibly valuable for media literacy. It equips you, me, anyone listening, to be a much more critical consumer of news coverage about terrorism.
How so?
It encourages a more measured, long-term perspective. It helps you resist the immediate panic that terrorists are actually trying to provoke. If you understand the tactics, goal is to induce fear.
You can consciously choose not to give them that psychological victory. You can refuse to panic, refuse to demand, you know, excessive government overreach based on fear.
Precisely. And on the strategic thinking side, for policymakers, the message from history is pretty clear. Effective responses usually require strategic patience and, crucially, proportionality.
Don't take the bait.
Don't take the bait. Focus on denying the terrorists their psychological and political win. And at the same time, rigorously protect the very democratic institutions and civil liberties that they're trying to get you to abandon.
Because eroding the rule of law, cracking down excessively, That's playing right into their hands. It's the outcome they want to provoke.
Exactly.
You know, for me, the most valuable lesson from Townsend is maybe that clarity and historical perspective are kind of the ultimate antidotes to the feeling of terror.
Yeah.
When you understand it rationally as a tactic with a history and a logic, it becomes maybe not less dangerous physically, but less paralyzing psychologically. It feels more like a manageable challenge, less like an existential, overwhelming dread.
I completely agree. I think the lasting contribution of his work is providing that robust framework for thinking rationally about this incredibly difficult, emotionally charged subject.
Mm-hmm.
And the core challenge always is that balancing act. How do we maintain security without sacrificing the very democratic values we claim to be defending?
A question that remains incredibly relevant. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.